Time for another weekly requirement of toast and jam.
That time, but we know his name. The outlaw, John Dillinger, played what sport? The answer was baseball. He was a semi-pro baseball player for the AC Athletics. Paul and I were looking up AC. We're not sure what AC stands for.
We're thinking Athletic Club is what it stood for.
Could be. And he may have played in North Dakota because we had some semi-pro teams up here too. So,
shortstop, second baseman?
Shortstop, second baseman, leadoff hitter, about 5'7", 150. They called him the Jackrabbit.
I thought they called him the Hitman.
Could have done that too.
AC could have been all criminals.
I could have been the all criminals team. He played in the California Penal League. He along with Ricky Vaughn.
Okay.
The brilliance anyway, continues.
The answer was baseball. Let's get started here. Let's talk to Coach McCulloch first. And where things are constantly changing and things are headed in an unknown direction right now. But we're going to talk about the future of the sports affiliation for Valley City State University. I know we've had some meetings in the area, getting some feedback from alumni, from all kinds of people. D2, D3, NAIA. Coach, where are we at?
That's a great question. You know, right now we are still continuing down the path of, you know, what is the best direction for us and for the long run. And you know, all those options are still on the table, and we're still continuing to look at all those options and trying to make that decision. And even if I sat here and said, hey, I think NCAA Division II is the best pathway for us to take, it's a little bit out of our control because you have to have a conference. You have to be invited to a conference to go that way. And that, you know, as of today, I mean, that invite isn't out there for us. And so there are, you know, again, as we prepare and look, you know, we kind of do a little bit of this with forecasting our own future and saying, you know, where we believe we can, you know, is going to be a great situation for us in the long run for athletic programs and the university. And, you know, start to prepare a little bit, which with the conference issue that's came up, and we know we have the North Star for one more year, and in 2025 we do not have a home, it's created this really hard look into where that direction needs to be at. And that's currently right now is what we're going through. We have hired a consultant to kind of take an outside look at us and to give us a little bit of perspective to help that process and to give us some feedback on where currently we're at.
You have somebody coming in, is it Thursday?
Yeah, we did. We did have somebody come in last Thursday, and they were here on campus. And you know, again, just kind of verifying, they kind of give you a questionnaire to fill out, a lot of, you know, question marks that they have about your program and how you run things and how you do things administratively, cost things, facilities, you know, all those pieces that they have questions about to kind of compare and contrast to an NCAA Division II program, right, and what that would feel like. And then basically they take that questionnaire and kind of give you a grade on it and weigh you against that and then say, here this piece is. And then they, you know, came out and wanted to verify it, right? So you could write this stuff down, but they want to make sure it's verified on their end that, yeah, when you say your facilities are good or these are quality or how your administration is or what you're doing, you know, with your organizational structure, things are actually, you know, that's what's going on. And they verify then their results and go back to write a final report on you, right, mm-hmm. to kind of give you this analysis of where they believe you're at. And then it'll be on us to answer those questions of things that we may need to, you know, change and to have a plan for it. And that's currently where we're at now.
I know you guys have gone around and done some meet and greets in the communities, Fargo, Grand Forks, I think Lisbon here in Valley City. How have those gone?
Yeah, no, they've been good. And I've done this a long time as far as going out. What's fun about getting out and getting a chance to see people and to have a personal conversation, it's different than what you can read and the reaction of everybody in the room and the feedback from that is a positive. And it's been a good thing for us, and to have that reach out, and we want to continue to do it. It's not something that just because we have this information today, it is something we just need to continue to do, and it's important. And to be honest, it doesn't matter if you go and, hey, we're going to go to Fargo and you have five people show up, that's okay. Like, those are, it's really a positive piece to be able to meet the people who care about you and the programs and things, and make sure we're sharing the information and knowledge that they need, and know that they have somebody that they can put a name to, a face, right? So those are the positive things about getting out and doing it.
You know, so armchair quarterbacks have it all figured out already. You know, let's bring back the Dak 10. That would be an easy fix, but I know it's not going to take an easy fix.
Yeah, that's not an easy fix. And the part of the – and we – I think there's a lot of interest in that
And I'm talking D2 now.
No, absolutely. We've had some conversations with some of our former DAC, schools that were members at the time. And there's interest in their part, too. The challenging part is you go from a known, where they're at right now currently in a conference, where they're, however they feel they're doing and how well they're doing in those conferences and all the things that go along with that, to say, I'm willing to leave a known for an unknown, right, and to where that will lead them. And I think if we could show and get a model where it's like, hey, this is going to happen, I think it would roll fairly quickly, because there's enough schools that would are leaning and would like to try to do it, and make it happen. Currently, the four or five schools that were in the North Star, I think there'd be a lot of interest in their part to try to reform and do something, at that end. So that you have a group of schools that would be interested, and they would look to move up and to a D2 level to do it. So there's some conversations continue to be had. At some point in time, we it's blowing smoke, and we got to come out front, and you got to come out and start saying this out loud. Like, this is realistic. Like, this can happen, and we need some, to gather those people on board that have under right personal conversations have said those things, but out loud they have to be able to say those things to make it come real.
What is the deadline?
Or
is there,
well, I mean, there's a deadline. There's always going to be a deadline. There's a piece for us, as we know, in 2025, right, if we don't say anything, well, we're independent then. We'd have to find our own schedules, right? The frontier is going to come, and there's a meeting scheduled for the NAIA National Conference that's coming up here in April, and our president and Dave Bass will be down there to represent us, and they're going to meet with the Frontier Conference again and talk about conference scheduling and some of those pieces. And that's still there. And they're at some point in time, they're going to say, hey, this is where we need a decision, because we have to make schedules for 2025. So I understand that. That's in the next few months here that they're going to look at, trying to push this over the cliff to say, you guys have to make this decision, because we're going to move forward in 2025. I understand that and where we're at in that process. So we know in the next, couple months here, we're going to have to make a decision and jump off the decision-making process here.
Do I dare ask this question?
Oh, no.
Where would you like to be?
Yeah, I mean, where I see, a stability piece for us in the long run, and I could take it two sides of that. Like, what I really would like to be is just like you said, I'd love that regional athletic conference back, or Dakota Athletic Conference back. I mean, that's the most logical, positive piece there is. So when you say, well, D2, well, that's how I look at that piece, right? Because we would be, right, it was a competitive conference. We're more similar to the schools.
Rivalries,
ideologies, all the things that come up, where they recruit, right, the areas that they get a recruit from, none of them are, right, large cities. They're more, right, there's more similarities than differences between us when you start to compare all those schools that we would talk about. So right, when I look at it, and some people kind of say, well, did you do that? You know, you look at the DAC, that's the perfect fit. And that would be, if we would say, right, the NSIC or the RMAC, there's a long road to get to competitive, to the top level of their competitiveness. There's just a lot different. And Minot Mary has shown that pathway. I mean, you can look at what they've done, and they're 10 years in, and you can look at their record. Like, you can look at where their teams are at. Like, you know, there have been some of their programs that have had some competitive success. It's not on a large scale. Football really has not gotten out of the cellar in the league. You know, and that's just the reality, right? And where they're at. And so that, and when I talk to people at Minot State, they know that. They felt like they were 10 years behind of where the NSIC was when they joined. Everybody was farther ahead of them. And they still feel like they're trailing, right, in those aspects. So some of the things to get caught up to do the things where they're to the level they want to be at. And so, you know, that's the thing with the NSIC choice is like, but stability 20 years from now, I mean, I think there's more likeness to that for us, state schools, how they operate, all those pieces. I would always say NEI was built for the private schools. There's no, that's not, you know, that's what the reality was. It was built for private schools, right, that had state schools in it. And, you know, the operational pieces are to encourage large roster enrollment, right? They're going to feed the athletics to feed the campus size. That's reality, right? That's what they do, and they've allowed for that. That's not our model at Valley City State, so we don't fit that, like, that model very well. But when you start to look at the landscape of the size of schools and the type, we feel similar because of our size, right? We're more similar to some of the other NEI schools, even though they operate differently. Those are hard. I'm just saying, it's like, when you look at us, we are unique in that sense, you know. And you know, small state schools, go see how many exist around, right? That it's hard to find them, so that makes us, like I said, those pieces are kind of a little bit unique for us. I've been an NAI since I've been in athletics, so to say it's hard for me to say, like, that's not a good, because I've been since at Northern State, mm-hmm. when I first went to college, right, we were NEI. We were NEI through my time at Northern State. They were just transitioning to D2 at the time I was leaving. Yeah. And then I came to Valley City State, where we've been NEI ever since. So, I mean, I think those are challenging pieces. But those are the stability, the sameness is to try to get that regional athletic conference. When you start to look at all the colleges that are in this area, in our footprint, in North Dakota, South Dakota, and right outside that, close, competitive, similar, it seems to make a lot of sense. But it's, you know, there's a leap for it.
Okay. Very good.
College athletics is weird nowadays. It's a different landscape.
You look at the 1980s, there were NAIA teams, and now they're D1.
Yep.
Nope. You go back, and they were big-time NAIA, but now all of a sudden they're D1. Yep. 20 years later, 40 years later.
And I think for all of us, we just got to hang on, because that's what's going to continue to happen is change. And you have to be stable. You have to continue to invest in our programs, in what we're doing, and understand if we can, if you can hang on and you continue to, there's going to be opportunities out there for us as the future goes on. Let's try not to panic. And that's where we've been at, and it's hard when you, again, this, the looming of 2025 is coming, but trying to find, like, hey, does this all legitimately make sense for us?
Yeah.
You know, I don't panic. Like, when we say the frontier, it does. It seems like, oh my gosh, the cost of travel and everything else. But if the right situation, they can make the right scheduling agreements east-west and do some of those things, we can there's some more manageable things. Now, if it's just us, if we went with just Dickinson, football travel is going to be, I mean, we're taking a couple of flights, and we're looking for a couple extra $100,000 in our traveling budgets to try to make that work. And that, I mean, that's the real challenge. Now, if Dakota State, Mayville, us, Dickinson all go, and we were all in that conference, now you're doing the East-West, that would be more palatable, right, in the financials, because we could do you'd only have a couple of long trips versus, mm-hmm. right, you know, five of your, you get five home games and you're going to get five long trips.
Right.
Yep. That's the change. Yep. So.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for the update, and we'll stay tuned because I'm sure there'll be a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to slip the mic over to, we're going to keep it with VCSU. Corey Anderson played a few years here, coached, was the commish for the North Star. What haven't you done?
Hosted a radio or a podcast, I guess.
Well, you do have a face for radio, Corey.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Just like us.
You know, can we talk about this toast and jam thing?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Where did this evolve from? Because I understand the toast part, but
yeah.
I'm thinking jam and you just doesn't, you
well,
know.
He's a jamming kind of guy.
I would think, like, toast and potatoes, you know, former Morehead spud.
Right. Spud, right.
You know,
but
or
potatoes don't go with toast.
Well,
jam does. I could have been peanut butter because I've always gotten in sticky situations, but that's another story altogether.
Well, or sauerkraut.
Or
sauerkraut. Toast and sauerkraut.
I love sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Toast
I had that
cheese,
for lunch.
Because I'm cheesy.
Yeah.
But the jam part comes, I had an eccentric uncle, my mother's uncle, so my great uncle, that had a nickname for all us kids.
And it wasn't John Dillinger.
My nickname was PM Preserves. That was my nickname. So PM preserves jam, thus toast and jam.
Wow, this sounds like another separate meeting just to unpack all that stuff. Wow.
We'll take it on the road someday and explain it. Yes.
Please do.
We all know that Corey is doing his thing in the VCSU Foundation office, doing a great job over there. We have another auction coming up. This is a biggie. Every year, a lot of people enjoy the auction, what, 27? 28?
29, I believe.
29?
Yes. But for some reason, and now you're making me doubt because I figured, I mean, when Tim says something, it's accurate, right? And so now he says this. Like, oh, jeez.
Let me get that shovel.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the passage of spring, right? When the auction comes, now spring starts the next day. I mean, it's just how we do it.
Friday, April 26th. I do have that down.
Yes.
Okay.
That is accurate.
Okay, that's accurate. VCA at the Valley City Eagles Club. You have an online auction, too.
Yes.
You can bid on those items.
We do. Online auction that will open up, and those things are we're starting to gather right now, and that'll be on HandBid is the name of the platform that we have used the last few years, and then on the 26th we'll have our open auction that will start at 5 p.m.
Okay.
And at 5 p.m. if you come out for the social, there'll be lots of activities going on, whether it's you know, Jenga or Connect or different types of things like that.
It's a groovy thing.
It is a groovy thing.
Remember the groovy thing? Of course,
yes.
I don't know if you're old enough for that.
Well, I am not as old as you are.
McCulloch was around, though, I think.
No, I don't even know that he's
groovy,
that old.
Man, groovy.
Coach Mack and I just got to go into our wardrobe now and find stuff from the 70s.
Yes,
and I did get a 70s shirt for Christmas, so I'm going to sport that.
Yes.
Yes, I have to do that.
Oh, yeah. And your Letterman's jacket.
You know, I don't have mine anymore. That was tossed. I don't know.
Surprised didn't go on auction and make
lots
of money.
Well, speaking of auction items, maybe a night with toast and jam.
We want people.
Well, we're
to
trying. Yeah, we're trying to make money. Maybe if we auction off. Yes,
there,
yes,
right?
Yes. Great idea. I'll mention that to Kim Hash. We can get that on.
Oh goodness. Oh man. Raise a lot of money though.
Yes.
Every year. It's amazing, the growth of this auction.
Yeah, it is. It's a great event, and it just speaks about the people that care about this university and our community. And I had, it was not last week, week before, had a meeting that I went to, and this is a great thing about the auction is that it sells itself. So I sat down at this meeting, and the guy I sat next to said, here's a check, I need 5 tickets. And we just got tickets that day, so luckily we were in the you know, the area where we could say, hey, here they are, and you know, but it's just that's how it is. It's sold itself now, and that it's an event that everybody marks their calendars for, and everybody wants to know the theme, and they want to start getting, you know, ready for what they're going to wear or how they're going to prepare their groups, or, you know, it's not an individual event anymore. You're starting to see, you know, tables get set up and people go as groups and bid on things together, and it's awesome. And Kim Hesch is really our person that has ran that thing and has tremendous pride in it. She has got a committee of people that are very dedicated to making this, you know, better each year. And you know, the prizes and the gifts and the auction items that are available to bid upon just kind of speak for themselves each and every year. Like, there's always something different and always something unique, and whether it's an experience or it's a travelsome place or it's you know, an item,
sports memorabilia,
you know, it's just a lot of fun, and it's sometimes hard to concentrate there because there's a lot of action going on. You get 400 people in the Eagles, and
flying off the walls in all directions.
Yes, it is, and we have had some great experiences there over the years, and so I can't encourage people enough, if they haven't taken part in it, that that they should grab a couple other people, you know, get a group of four of you to come out, and we don't have a lot of opportunities for new people to get in because we're limited with the number of tickets that we sell. And so I encourage people, it went online already, so people can purchase their tickets. And if they visit our foundation website, and they can get their tickets purchased right now, or chances are that if you've been to an auction before, you're going to get contacted possibly through your app, through your email, it could be a text. So everybody that's been there before is going to get a contact and you know, have that opportunity to get their tickets in advance. And if not, there's a group of us that have a bunch of tickets that we'll be reaching out to people on our lists and just saying, hey, it's auction time, and we hope you can make it. And here's how we go about getting our tickets.
Cool. Anything else
that you want to mention? Where does the money go? The money goes to scholarships.
Yeah, it all goes to scholarships, yes. And at the university, you know, we have several needs in the scholarship areas and just different ways for us to be able to provide money. We have endowments, we have private donations, and we have drives for both the Athletic Century Club and for Academic V500. And so with this one, what we do is we split it right down the middle between V500, academic scholarships, and then athletic scholarships that go out to the department there for the Vikings. And so it's been a really important thing each and every year, and it's one of our main things that provide the scholarships every year. And you know, we keep raising the bar and what our goal is, and this year our goal is at $150,000, so it's up $30,000 from what we did last year. Wow. So we've got our work cut out for us, but you know, we have to set a standard here, and that's what it's going to be.
All right, Corey, Coach, thank you so much for coming in today. You can hang on and watch the rest of this madness or listen to it, or you can leave. You have the right to leave.
Yeah, yeah. The door isn't locked. You can.
Well, and if you ask me where I wanted to be, I would tell you, as an employee former of the NEI, I would say D2.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's my vote too.
Yeah, I only say that because I just feel like that's where we have created our direction. And I think we have put ourselves in a really good position, and it's just, we can't do it ourselves. We have to find somebody to carry the torch for us. Mm-hmm. All we can do is the things that are necessary on our side. So if we get an invite, we're prepared, we're ready to go. And I think that we have the people involved and the people making the decisions that, you know, it's not a reach. 10 years ago, I might have said it was going to be a reach for us. Now I think this is probably the best spot for us to be, and then it'll, you know, but we've got ourselves to worry about and the work to do on our side. Mm-hmm. And you know, our office needs to get the facilities built that are requisite of Division II, and then all the other things will fall into place.
And what a recruiting tool as well, you know. Good luck, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So much.
Appreciate it.
Corey Anderson and Dennis McCulloch, VCSU, Valley City State University. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to talk National Guard, Army National Guard, North Dakota Army National Guard, and recruiter Brad Mattson. I know we have high school seniors sitting out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What am I going to do?
Junior. You don't have to be a junior, even a sophomore.
And sophomores, you're thinking ahead a little bit?
Absolutely.
And you don't know what you're going to do. What am I going to be good at? I don't know. I had no idea. I thought, well, radio, yeah, maybe.
Well, I told you, I've changed my major 4 times before I landed into radio.
Okay.
Don't hurt yourself, man. Did you get a shock there?
I did.
I'll have to do the show the rest of by myself. Smart. I'll toast to sound.
Okay. Well, talk to Brad Mattson. He's going to help you out. We're going to get him back in here.
Yes.
Maybe next week or
something. We'll try next week, the week after. Yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
Kind of cool.
And Kim Hesch, we'll try to get her on.
Kim Hesch is going to be in here from the foundation office, VCSU. Also, we're going to get Matt Branvold. He's the golf guy over at Valley City Park and Rex, Bjornson Park. Yep. We're thinking golf already. Maybe April. Keep our fingers crossed. Yeah.
Let's hope.
All right. And again, talk to Brad. He's gonna fill you in on what you need to do to get into the North Dakota Army National Guard.
Yep.
And a lot of people have, even from Valley City.
Absolutely.
We have some real candidates that have done very, very well in the Army National Guard. Jimmy's Pizza, another one. I talked to Julie this morning, and she says, Tim, have you talked about the beer? They have beer at Jimmy's Pizza, and I knew that, but we never talked about it.
No, but we did know.
But, you know, when you eat in, you can enjoy some cold beverages as well. But we've talked pizza. You know, it's March Madness. You got to have pizza.
Absolutely.
With the game.
Yep.
And they've got that. They've got wings, pasta dinners, beverages, a lot.
They deliver.
Deliver, and what is that number again?
845-1234.
340 East Main Valley City, Jimmy's Pizza. March Madness continues as we continue here. I imagine we're way over time, but it's worth it.
It is. We had a great conversation with Coach Mack and Corey Anderson, but March Madness is here. They're now in the regionals.
Sweet 16, Elite 8 coming up this weekend.
Yep, and it should be an interest. Someone asked me today, as a matter of fact, who I had in my Final Four. Well, two of my teams are already gone.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Kentucky.
They were actually on one of my teams. I've been a Kentucky fan for quite a few years.
Okay.
But Kentucky is one of them.
Okay, and we've got Connecticut, UConn still in.
Yeah, North Carolina.
North Carolina, Iowa State. Don't look past Iowa State. Houston.
Houston and Duke are in the same region. Yeah. I think the team that wins that regional will win those two games. Because that's a 1-4. Because they meet next. They're coming up this weekend in the Sweet 16.
Should be a dandy.
Oof-ta.
Ooh, looking forward to that. And women's, too. Iowa won last night. Squeaked by West Virginia.
That was
a tough one.
Yeah.
Last home game for Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So having another awesome
game. And the University or North Dakota State, they defeated Montana last night, the women's NIT, 72-63. And now they play the Gophers is their next opponent.
Remember the last time we played the Gophers? I think it was football.
Yep. How did that work out there? Oh, boy.
I think Roll ran right over him. He rolled over them. Yeah. Katie's on. Let's talk about her. Buffalo, North Dakota. Member of the Texas Christian University squad. They won the 2024 NCAA Air Rifle and Small Bore Rifle Championships. Mm-hmm. Katie also named Athlete of the Year by the Collegiate Rifle Coaches Association.
Just a sophomore.
Wow.
In college.
Way to go.
She's the Caitlin Clark of shooting sports in the NCAA.
A sophomore at TCU. And that's big time.
From Buffalo, North Dakota.
Whew.
Wow.
Gotta love it. Year-end basketball awards. And speaking of awards, how about Tessa Olson?
Mm-hmm. Second team All-State.
Okay. And we had some area people, too, I think, didn't we?
On the boys' side, Max Muslin was first team All-State, also finalist for Mr. Basketball from Lamar Litchell Marion. Matea Mathern mm-hmm. from EKM. Yep. Edgley Cullum Montpelier. She was a first-team All-Stater as well. And a finalist for Miss Basketball.
So congrats going out to those people. Highliners in the state indoor meet, NDSU last weekend.
Did well. Had
girls did well.
The girls did well. Took six as a team. The girls did. Their 4x8 relay was a state champ. And Reagan Burke took second in the 1,600 meters. A lot of school records were set as well, but I know we had the one state champ. JV did well on Saturday because JV participated in the JV state on Saturday as well.
Good. Very good. Spring sports getting underway, and of course, baseball, softball, VCSU, and the Highlanders. That'll be they'll be going here pretty soon, too.
Well, first game scheduled next Tuesday, April 2nd.
For the Highlanders?
For both baseball and softball, okay. Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We're seeing some 50s, though, next week, so who knows?
Yeah.
All right. UND hockey. Mm-mm-mm. What is wrong with this hockey team? Anyway, the Fighting Hawks will play Michigan Friday night in the first round NCAA tournament in Maryland Heights, Missouri. Never heard of the place. Have you ever heard of that place?
No, but it must have a rink.
They do. Anyway, UND is over the number 6 overall seed. They have won 3 of the last 4 meetings with Michigan, all in the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
They cannot handle Omaha. We don't want to see Omaha until maybe not even.
Next year.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is there. I know we had the starting goalie out, kind of nursing an injury. Mm-hmm. Had a freshman goalie. Yeah. You never know how those are going to go.
No.
Twins, baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Twins open their season this Thursday.
Yep, in KC.
Wow.
Taking on the Royals.
Yeah. How about that?
It'll be fun. I'm eager to see this club. They haven't had a great spring, 8-19, but I'm eager to see what happens.
That's what I love about baseball, that new feeling.
Yep.
You're all 0-0, and you can hang around at least till July.
Yep. You can start printing those World Series tickets.
And Twins are picked to win their division again,
I guess. I believe they are picked to win it, but it's not going to be easy because the Tigers and White Sox, Cleveland always die, and Kansas City too.
We always do this on this day in sports history.
All right.
We're talking today is the 26th
mm-hmm.
of March. Really, it's March Madness history notes.
Mm-hmm.
1973, men's basketball championship, UCLA beats Memphis 81-76. Bruins' 7th straight title. Were they a dominant NCAA team? Yeah.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Fame center Bill Walton, tournament MVP for a second straight year.
1973. Wow.
I was a senior in high school, believe it or not.
I was in the second grade.
Did I say I was a senior? And on this day, 1979, NCAA men's basketball championship, Michigan State beats Indiana State 75-64, marks the start of a rivalry.
Yes.
Between Hall of Famers Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Highest rated game in history on televised college basketball.
I remember watching it.
It was huge.
Yes.
Man, talk about players.
And the Sycamores were undefeated.
Yeah.
Going into that game, Indiana State.
Yep.
Of course, they're the big name this year. They got snubbed by the NCAA, and now they're in the quarterfinals of the NIT.
Oh, it's hard to pick those teams.
It really is.
I'm glad I'm not on that.
Couldn't pay me enough.
Yeah. How about a trivia question
this
week?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Which basketball player was Michael Jordan nicknamed after when he was in high school?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Huh? Which basketball player was Michael Jordan nicknamed after when he was in high school?
And he's from North Carolina originally, I believe.
Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, I'm gonna...
I was surprised by this answer.
Wow, I'm going to have to think about this one. And I won't Google or anything. I'll try to figure it out myself.
Okay. All right. We're going to leave with words of wisdom like we always do. Paul is anxiously waiting.
I am.
Don't forget to be happy.
Don't forget to be happy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Don't forget to be happy.
Yeah.
I like Going through life with unhappiness, it's not a lot of fun.
Doesn't do you a bit of good.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Is that it?
It's easier to smile than it is to frown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's it for us, huh?
All right.
That's Toast and Jam for another week, brought to you by the North Dakota Army National Guard and recruiter Brad Mattson. Brad, thank you. And Jimmy's Pizza, East Main in Valley City. For Paul McConnell, I can't say your name now.
What's my name?
For Paul McDonald and... I do have one birthday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I didn't have any celebrity birthdays. Right. I do have one birthday today, though.
And?
And a good friend. He listens every week.
Okay.
Out of Minneapolis.
All right.
Glenn, my good buddy Glenn, and our friend, Toast and Jam friend. Glenn, happy birthday. For Paul McDonald, I'm Tim Oast. We'll see you next week.